Hello, I'm Michaela, and welcome back to Lactation Station. I don't know what's going on in your neck of the woods, you guys, but it is hot here in Vegas. Man, all week it's been like 108, and you walk outside and it's like you're living in an oven. It is just insane how hot it is. It's crazy. Okay, so today we're going to talk about the science behind lactation. And the ability to lactate is governed by the endocrine system. If you've been following my podcast, then you've heard me say that before. But the endocrine system is the general system, I guess, is the best way to put it, that governs lactation. But the pituitary gland is the specific body that does all the work. Well, the pituitary gland and the hypothalamus. And the endocrine system controls many of the functions of the human body, and I'm not going to get into those. Basically, unlike the exocrine glands, which transport their products via ducts to specific and discrete locations, the glands of the endocrine system secrete their products directly into a capillary bed. They utilize the circulatory system to distribute their chemical signals throughout the body. Now, that's a very basic rundown of the endocrine system as a whole. So let's talk a little bit more about the pituitary gland specifically. The pituitary gland is called the master regulator gland of the human body. And pituitary activity is regulated by the hormones of the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus is part of the brain that sits just above the pituitary gland. And the hypothalamus works similar to like a meter or a monitor, and it detects abnormalities in the levels of hormones produced by the pituitary gland. The hypothalamus communicates with the pituitary gland by sending hormones into the connecting blood vessels and through the nerve impulses that bridges the structures together. It's like a little stalk where the pituitary gland sits below the hypothalamus. And the pituitary gland is about the size of a pea or a kidney bean. I mean, it's not very big at all, and it really does a lot of stuff. The pituitary gland is divided into an anterior lobe, an intermediate zone, and a posterior lobe. Prolactin comes from the anterior lobe, and oxytocin comes from the posterior lobe. The anterior lobe produces 6 hormones, and one of them is the prolactin. The posterior lobe does not produce hormones, but instead stores the hormones produced by the hypothalamus, and this is where we find oxytocin. It was discovered in the 20th century that the hormone prolactin was identified as suppressing ovulation. If you, like me, if you have, you know, if there's spottiness or you having issues with your menstrual cycle, prolactin does help suppress that. That's what it does for me. I stopped having my cycle 2 years ago. So I would say that that's a pretty valid point that, you know, the prolactin and the lactation has created the lactational amenorrhea. I think that's how you say it for me. And I don't have my menstrual cycle anymore. Problems with the pituitary gland can cause problems like galactorrhea when the pituitary gland produces too much prolactin. And there's cases of it in men and women that aren't trying to lactate that spontaneously start producing milk. It's because of an overactive pituitary gland. During pregnancy, the combination of estrogen and progesterone circulating in the blood appears to inhibit milk secretion by blocking the release of prolactin from the pituitary gland and making mammary gland cells unresponsive to this hormone, which is why you don't lactate through the course of your pregnancy while your body is preparing, because there's so much of those hormones that are being produced, and the mammary glands are the cells are unresponsive to the prolactin, the little bit of prolactin that is being produced through your body. So then what happens? Well, then this blockade is removed at the end of the pregnancy by expulsion of the placenta. And the loss of the supply of hormones, as well as a decline in hormone production from the ovaries. And that's when, you know, after a woman has a baby and she expels the placenta, you know, then her milk starts to come in. She develops colostrum. And then, you know, 7 to 10 days is mature milk. So, you know, all that happens after the placenta is discharged. For lactation to continue, necessary patterns of hormone secretion must be maintained. So then that's where, you know, when we start inducing, we're introducing these hormones and things back into our body, trying to get our system to recreate the whole placenta expulsion and that kind of thing. There is speculation that several pituitary hormones seem to be involved in the formation of milk, but there isn't, I couldn't find any science on it. It just said maybe. You know, we know that oxytocin and prolactin definitely. So, you know, there may be some others that are involved that we just don't know about. Oxytocin is continually released through childbirth. Then oxytocin continues to play a role. Oxytocin is necessary for milk ejection. When your partner suckles, there are sensory receptors in your nipples that transmit signals to the hypothalamus. And in response, the oxytocin is secreted and released into your bloodstream. In non-pregnant women, prolactin is inhibited by prolactin-inhibiting hormones, which is actually the neurotransmitter dopamine and is released from neurons in the hypothalamus. I know that all sounds really complicated, but this is why we take DOM, because domperidone increases prolactin secretion indirectly by interfering with and inhibiting dopamine. And dopamine's action is to increase the secretion of prolactin by the pituitary, or decrease, I'm sorry. Dopamine's action is to decrease the secretion of prolactin by the pituitary gland. And you may have heard people say that DOM is a dopamine receptor agonist, and that's exactly what it is. However, I would like to give you a word of caution, because dopamine is the main transmitter involved in the reward and pleasure part of your brain, meaning any reduction in dopamine can have serious mood changes and effects. And I've heard women say that they get depressed taking DOM. So you just need to be careful. If it starts affecting your mood or becoming an issue for you, you know, you might want to drop down your dosage or consider not taking it, because you don't want it to screw up that dopamine so much that you're finding no pleasure in what you're doing. I found an interesting study from 2011. Health Canada's Canadian Vigilance Program actually confirmed that between 1965 and 2011, there were no cardiac-related deaths reported among women taking domperidone. And they mean women that didn't already have cardiac issues. They mean, you know, healthy women who had no other signs or symptoms. There's no recorded cardiac related deaths in healthy women. So, I mean, there you go, ladies. You know, everybody talks about how dangerous taking domperidone is, but as I continue my research, I find more and more that tells me unless it's taken in large doses and unless you're, you know, extremely elderly in your 70s and already have heart-related problems, the risks are minimal. And having said that, I want to say, you know, obviously I'm not a doctor, so I can't say that it's not going to have an impact on you, but just, you know, do your own research and make the decision that you're going to make. But in all the research that I've been doing in the last 6 months, honestly, I don't find anything that is counterindicated to it being a bad medication. That's just my opinion. I want to mention that I have a new sponsor, Upspring, and I'm working on a new website. So if you go to the website and it seems kind of funky right now, just give me a little bit of time, because I'm new to all of this. So I'm just trying to build together the best website that I can. And I'm going to get the Upspring sponsor banner up so that you guys can get some discounts on that. I know when I first started lactating, I used to drink their, they have like a powdered juice that has fenugreek and blessed thistle in it. And it's actually quite tasty. I used to drink that all the time. So they do have some pretty good products, and I'm really excited having them as a sponsor. Don't forget the other sponsors. We have Earth Mama, and, you know, take a look at the Willow Pump. They're still, right now, they're still having their $150 off on their second generation pumps if you're interested in a Willow Pump. And the website, you know, I'm doing the best that I can to get that reconfigured. And hopefully, I ordered a few things. I ordered a green screen. I ordered a couple other things. I'm going to start doing some YouTube videos so that I can show you some of the pumps and products that I'm talking about. So all that's really exciting. All right, ladies. Well, that's it for today. So have a great day, and we'll talk to you next week. This is Michaela at Lactation Station. Have a great day.